From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgartz.
Welcome into another edition of the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5. I am your host, Hunter Baumgartz, looking forward to talking lots of different sports tonight with you, mostly Green Bay Packers, but we have a lot to get to. We'll get to local sports later in the program. Three guests tonight. You know, this week with the Packers playing the Lions and not anything to play for, they already have the one seed locked up. It's like, okay, coming into this week, I was like, well, it's going to be probably a slow week. Well, nothing of the sort. We have plenty of Packers topics to get to. We'll get to one of them here in just a moment. But coming up here at 5:45, we're going to talk to Ben Raven, covers the Detroit Lions for M Live. We'll get the opponent's point of view, the Detroit Lions, as they play the Packers this weekend. We talked to Ben all the way back in September when these two teams played the first time, and we'll talk to Ben again tonight. Looking forward to that. 6:05, Grant Bills will join me, host of the Wisco Sports Show statewide here in Wisconsin, and looking forward to talking to Grant about the Packers, also about Johnny Davis and the Badgers. We both covered, Grant and I covered Johnny Davis when he was in college, when he was in high school. Now he's in college, obviously. When he was in high school in lacrosse, and it was really fun to cover him then, and so we'll kind of reminisce about that and kind of what we saw then and what it means now. We'll talk about that with Grant at 6:05 and a bunch of Packers topics with him as well. And then at 6:40, John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet's girls basketball coach, will join me at 6:40 as well. We'll talk some local sports. And also, I got a call today from Tom and Rhinelander, wanting to know a little bit more about this Antonio Brown situation. And so we'll talk about that towards the end of the show as well tonight. So plenty to get to. And also, we've got things to get to when it comes to the MVP voting. If you haven't heard, Aaron Rodgers has been obviously in the news a lot over the offseason and now into this season, and now it comes down to whether he's going to win the MVP. And one of the MVP voters came out and said that he will not be voting for Aaron Rodgers because of what he has done off the field. Now, that begs the question, how much matters when it comes to MVP voting? Should off-the-field actions or words matter when it comes to the MVP voting? So we'll get into that discussion about 6:25. But first, before we get to Ben Raven, who covers the Detroit Lions in about 10 minutes, want to start with the question, should the starters play this weekend in Detroit? The Packers have nothing to play for. They don't need to win this game. They already have the number one seed. They cannot, you know, improve or fall in their seeding. They will be the number one team in the NFC. The road to the Super Bowl runs through Lambeau. Should the starters play this weekend? And the question is, rest versus rust. Do you rest the players and not have the starters play? Or do you keep them in the game for at least a little bit so then they don't get rusty before their first playoff game? Let's get into that a little bit. And if you have an opinion on it, 715-453-4481. Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers, says they're planning on starting everybody, or at least a majority of the starters. And the players have came to him. They said they want to play, including Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams have said they want to play. And so that's going to be the plan. The plan for Matt LaFleur is to play the starters. Now, will it be for a couple of series? Will it be for a half? Will it be for a quarter? Who knows? But they're going to play. That's the message for Matt LaFleur, coach of the Packers. So the obvious quick answer to that question, should the Packers play their starters and risk injury or not play them at all? The obviously quick answer could be, no, don't play them because then they don't risk injury. But the other side of that is, if you do that, if you don't play them at all, they will not have done anything at game speed for 3 weeks. Because that game against the Vikings was on January 2nd, and the earliest they could play after this Lions game is January 22nd. So you're talking 20 days of only practice and not game speed. Because as we all know, practice has gotten a lot less game-like in recent years for player safety. So, again, that's 20 days without game speed. But, again, the other side of that is if you play, you risk injury. To me, there's no perfect answer here, and I think that's, you know, the consensus of it. However, I think each team is different. You look at some of the examples in the past, and Pat McAfee, who now hosts a show that is super popular and has Aaron Rodgers on each Tuesday, sometimes they take clips from that to play on this show. Pat McAfee was on a team with Peyton Manning because Pat was a punter with the Colts. And in his rookie year, Peyton and the Colts were 14-0. They had locked up everything, and the Colts decided to sit their starters, including Manning, for the last 2 weeks. And what did they do? They lost their first playoff game. In 2011, the Packers went 15-1 the year after they won the Super Bowl. They locked up everything. But week 17 didn't matter. It was the exact same scenario as this year. They were locked in as the number one seed heading into the last week of the season, and they were playing the Lions back in 2011. The Packers rested their starters. And if you remember, that was the Matt Flynn game. He had that monster game, threw like 5-6 touchdowns, then got signed the next year and got paid and then basically ended his career. But good for Matt Flynn. But anyway, the Packers rested their starters in that last week of the season. Then they had a bye, and then they came out against the Giants and just played awfully and lost 37-20 at home. That is what you want to avoid. Coming out flat, not ready because you've been off for so long. Because football is such a tough sport and such a sport that requires so much physicality and requires so much physically that I got to think you regress into your old habits a bit. You know, and your body just isn't as ready as if you just, you know, keep that momentum up and keep playing through the weeks. So what should this Packers team do? As I said, I think every team is different. Every Packers team is different. This Packers team, what would I like? Coming into last week, I wanted the Packers to be able to secure that number one seed last weekend so Rodgers could rest his toe because he said how good it felt after the bye, and I figured he'd want as much time as possible to rest it before the playoffs. But after last week's game, he said he didn't need a shot before the game. He practiced on Friday before the game, and he said it felt good after the game against the Vikings. So if that's the case, I am more than okay with him playing. I'm more okay with him playing. Let's rephrase that. I'm more okay with him playing now than I was if the toe was still bothering him. But overall, I'm not sure necessarily that Rodgers needs it. I feel like he could come out week one of the playoffs and play well, but we'll continue that just a moment. Let's go out to the WJJQ hotline. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Should the Packers play the starters this weekend?
I think it's imperative they play at least a half.
Okay, and not get rusty?
Exactly. I mean, look what happened in the preseason when they didn't play, when they played New Orleans the first game.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. That's exactly what I was just going to get to, so that's a good transition. But you want to see him play about a half, no less than that?
No less, no.
Okay, gotcha. Well, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet.
And, you know, that's you know, I think a half is a little much. I think I'd go a couple series or maybe a quarter. But he brings up a great point, and that's exactly where I want to go next with this. Because as much as I trust Aaron Rodgers to go out there and play to the best of his ability, look at the evidence. Remember the preseason, what he just brought up, when hardly any starters saw the field, right? Hardly any starters saw the field in the preseason. And what happened week one against New Orleans? It was the definition of rusty. They lost 38-3 to the New Orleans Saints. And it wasn't just the other players that were rusty in that game. Aaron Rodgers had two of his four interceptions that he has thrown all season in that game. And as much as I want to keep Rodgers on the bench, listen to this. Rodgers didn't play in the preseason, and he had his worst game of the season in that week one loss to the Saints after the preseason was over. He had a quarterback rating of 36.8. That's something you just don't see out of Rodgers. You see a lot of them in the 100s for Rodgers. Then midway through the year, he got COVID and missed nearly two full weeks. And it was luckily he just missed one game because he came back on a Saturday. But the game after he missed the game against the Chiefs with COVID. Then he came back. They had a home game against Seattle. And what did Rodgers have in that game? His second worst game of the season with a QB rating of 75.5, which is obviously better than week one at 36.8. But if you go through the 15 games he's played this year, his worst game was after not playing in the preseason. And his second worst game was when he had to take a week off because of COVID. So as good as Rodgers is, and he's amazing on the field in every sense of the world, he's human. And so as much as I don't want him to risk injury because having Rodgers out there is the number one thing this team needs in the playoffs, you also don't want him rusty because, as I've just shown, he can get rusty. So here's what I want. I want Rodgers to play a couple series, get like two possessions out of him, maybe three. So he goes through the normal week, plays a little bit, then take him out. Do the same with Devontae. A couple possessions, and that's all I want to see out of him. So that's my thought on it. And if you have any thoughts, 715-453-4481, I could squeeze you in here before Ben Raven joins us. But I'll tell you what, I am going to be holding my breath on Sunday when those guys are out there. And people are like, well, why didn't you hold your breath throughout the season when they're out there? Well, because those games mattered and you needed to win those games. Now, You have no reason you need to win this game on Sunday other than for pride and to keep the momentum going. And you're going to have those guys out there. And to me, I am going to be holding my breath. I mean, I am going to be a little nervous until they come out of the game, because as much as, you know, I want them to play a little bit, and I do, I want them to play a little bit. I don't want them to get rusty. As much as I want that, boy, if any of them get hurt, that is all that is going to be talked about heading into the postseason. So we're not even going to really touch that. And plus, you know, and Davante Adams said today, you know, there's risk walking across the street, and there is, and there's, that's totally true, right? There's risk in everything, but obviously you can completely take out the risk by having him stand on the sideline and not playing the game, right? That's a controllable risk, and your purpose, you know, you're putting them out there at risk. But again, there's that flip side that you play them and they're less rusty. And so I think I do agree with what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to play very much. I think it's going to be less than a half. If I were to guess, I think they play a quarter at the most. Those stars, Rodgers, Davante, other guys like Raren Jones, A.J. Dillon. But I'm glad that they're going to get out there. And I'm glad we're probably going to see Jordan Love a little bit as well. Sunday noon against the Detroit Lions. Coming up next, we're going to talk to someone who's been covering the Lions all season long, Ben Raven. He joined us back in September. Excited to talk to him again. Ben Raven covers the Detroit Lions for M Live out there in Detroit. We will talk to him next right here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
The snowmobile season is underway. Make sure you and your machine are ready for the trail with a stop at Bigfoot Stewart Express. For your machine, spark plugs, belts, AmSoil intercept, clots, and inject oil. Carbide wear rods and track slides. Find a nice selection of HJC helmets, jackets, and bibs. Lacrosse boots and Ice Armor gloves and mittens. Pick up your trail maps and gas up with mobile fuel at Bigfoot Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk.
For over 36 years, the Auto House has been doing business the right way, and that's why they're the longest-running auto dealer in the area. Find out why generations have been doing business at the Auto House. Right now, Gary's featuring this 2017 Jeep Renegade Trailhawk 4x4 with a camera, Bluetooth technology, and it's a real nice buy at $17,863 at the Auto House. And here's one perfect for wintertime driving, a 2015 Ford Explorer LMT model with four-wheel drive, heated leather seats, heated steering wheel, third row seating, camera, remote start, auto park, lane assist, sunroof, and a whole lot more. It's loaded and just $22,973 at the Auto House, where they service what they sell in their complete service department with an ASC certified technician. For a complete inventory of vehicles, go to their website, autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. The Auto House on North 4th in Tomahawk has what you're looking for, and if they don't, Gary can find it for you. And remember, Auto House also rents vehicles. Let Carrier provide quiet and efficient heating all winter with innovative solutions for premium comfort and available at Hilge's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. And you can learn all the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilge's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilge's, for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit hilge's.com. Carrier. Turn to the experts.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist. Tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the program. It is the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I am Hunter Baumgart, your host. We'll be with you till 7 tonight talking Wisconsin and local sports like we do each and every Wednesday night. And I'm excited to bring back to the program a guest we had on back in September when the Packers played the Lions the first time, and now they're playing him again this weekend. So looking forward to another discussion with Ben Raven, covers the Detroit Lions for M Live. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin S. Raven. And Ben, thanks so much for coming back on. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing all right. You know, one game left in the season over here, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all, and always love getting the perspective of the team that the Packers are playing, and obviously the Lions this week, and like you mentioned, just one more game left for the Lions of this season. Lions, you know, at their record 2-13-1, but do you think this season is something this franchise can build off of when they look, you know, to this offseason and in future years?
Yeah, no, I really do, and it's just you know, it's hard to identify things they've done right on the football field, but it's just a feeling when watching the team and how they have fought in every game this year. You know, it's just a different feeling under Dan Campbell that, like, it feels like this thing's heading in the right direction. You know, you're starting to see division on offense. I mean, that's been the most impressive part of the second half under Campbell, is that he took over play calling for the first time and the offense actually started to look competent and then some. So I think there is something to build off there. Obviously, the quarterback situation is a question moving forward, but, I mean, the offensive line was missing perhaps their best piece in Frank Ragnow, and it's been the greatest strength without a doubt. And, you know, to put it quickly on the defensive side of the ball, they've hung with a lot of teams they shouldn't hung with, and I think Aaron Glenn is going to get some interviews this offseason. So, I mean, there's some stuff to really build toward the future for sure, especially with those two first-round picks.
Right, and we'll get to those picks in a moment, what the Lions might look to do there. But you mentioned Dan Campbell taking over the play calling. When did he take over the play calling this year?
I think it was I think it was right before the Cleveland game. It might have been the Pittsburgh game, I think, was the first.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Pittsburgh tie in Week 10 he took over the play calling. So it's been arrow up since then. I mean, it was a little shaky for a couple weeks. Goff was hurt. They played in some bad weather in back-to-back weeks, but – I mean, it really started picking up in that Minnesota game that they won. And just the passing attack with Boyle or Goff has looked better. And there's been a lot of impressive stuff going on, especially with Amon-Ra St. Brown, the fourth-round rookie, is just on an absolute roll. And just props to Dan Campbell for finding ways to get the kid the ball.
Yeah, and he's, of course, his brother plays for the Packers, Equanimeous St. Brown. Packers fans, you'll recognize that. And those two are brothers, will be squaring off this weekend. But what has, you know, when Dan Campbell did take over the play calling there, you know, midway, a little more than midway through the season, what was a difference or two you've seen with the offense other than, you know, more successful? But what were maybe some specifics that you saw?
No, I think some of the deep passing attack stuff kind of coincides with the arrival of Josh Reynolds. But, I mean, there were things done. There were more shots downfield. It felt like there was more play action. It felt like there was more pre-snap motion. It felt like there was just, you know, I liked some of the things Anthony Lynn was doing in the rushing attack, but the passing attack just felt really complacent, just not really headed anywhere. It felt kind of like a dead-end street. And then once Campbell takes over, and with the help of tight ends coach Ben Johnson, who's really taken on a bigger role with the offense too, it's just you're just seeing creativity in the passing attack to get guys open. I mean, you're seeing Khalif Raymond motion into the backfield and motion right back to where he came from, getting a quick wheel route. Just you're just seeing a ton more pre-snap motion, pre-snap creativity. I mean, there have been sets with two wide receivers in the backfield. Raymond and St. Brown have gotten carries in recent weeks. There's a lot of pulling tackles, extra heavy set formations. I mean, they really just mix it up a lot. And it's been really interesting to see his creativity come to life over these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we'll get to more about Dan Campbell specifically in a moment, because I think he's doing some really good things there in Detroit, even just from afar. But I want to get to the passing attack first. What have you made of Jared Goff's first season as the QB of the Lions? And what is the thought around the organization about what to do with that quarterback position with Jared Goff or maybe without Jared Goff?
You know, I'll say this. I didn't expect to feel more optimistic about Jared Goff going into Week 18 than I did to open the season, because, I mean, it was ugly, ugly, ugly for 8, 9, 10 weeks there. And it was like, oh, my goodness, without a doubt, this guy's just a stopgap to the next option. But now, when you're looking at the top of the 2022 draft class and you're looking at Goff's contract, you're like, well, it's pretty obvious this guy's going to start at least one more season here. And, you know, he's been playing pretty good football his last four starts, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. I mean, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, FedEx Air Player of the Week in there, sprinkled in there, 2 different games. And, I mean, he's looked more confident. He's been crisp in the play action. He's been looking downfield. But it's just there's been a lot more questions of, can he be the long-term answer around these parts? And, I mean, he's going to get another shot next season, whether they draft a quarterback, sign a quarterback or not. I mean, he's the odds-on favorite without a doubt to be the starter next season, and it really seems that Campbell, and we haven't heard from Brad Holmes, but it really sounds in the roster evaluations that they're kind of arrow up on Goff too. So I think next season will really tell a lot about his long-term future once the roster starts to improve, once he gets some an NFL-worthy depth chart at wide receiver and get some pieces back at the offensive line and tight end, then it's like, okay, no excuses. You've got some weapons. So is what you can do. But he'll get a year two. He'll get a year two.
Well, right, and that's something, too, we have to keep in mind. You know, quarterbacks, you know, the talent around them also can be, you know, can be a part of how well they play. And so, obviously, you know, a better roster would probably improve Goff's play even more. Talking to Ben Raven, Detroit Lions reporter for M Live. Follow him on Twitter if you want to, or if you're on Twitter, Benjamin S. Raven is the handle there. And, Ben, you know, when you look at Dan Campbell, we just talked about him as his first year as the Lions head coach. You know, how has he been from your point of view? Because nationally and regionally, it really feels like from afar, it seems like the players really are buying into what he's selling there.
Oh, absolutely. It's bought in. These guys, I mean, they're playing. You see it on Sundays, but we see it every day, too. I mean, they're just bought in. They're supportive. I mean, and it's not just him. It's the staff that he's put in place, too. And all the talk in the offseason was how it was former players and stuff and just how is this going to work and stuff like that. You know, watch it in practice. You see how it works. There's something to be said about former players coaching young guys. And this is a super young roster. And these young players really respond to Dan Campbell and everyone he's placed. I mean, Deuce Staley has done a fantastic job. Hank Fraley is one of the unsung heroes around these parts. I mean, these former players that are just able to connect with these guys. And it's kind of been rare to see the player coach like that. But they've got like 12, 13, 14 under the roof in Allen Park, Michigan. And it's just... It's everybody's bought in. I mean, it's really a different world than what it was under Matt Patricia. It's just positive. I mean, you would think this was a winning team playing for a playoff spot. The positivity coming out of some of these players.
Wow, that's really impressive. I mean, if they're, you know, with the record that there is 2-13-1, and to have the positivity like that, that shows a lot about their head coach Dan Campbell, and great to hear there in Detroit. And you mentioned the high draft picks a little earlier as well. Where would you like to see them go with these high draft picks? Or maybe what are you hearing as, you know, obviously with the record that they have, they'll be picking right up there.
Yeah, they're locked into at least a top two pick. It's looking like they'll pick number two because I don't see the Jaguars beating the Colts this weekend. So that'll leave the Lions at the number two hole. And then, you know, just a matter of the way the board looks this year, it'll be between Aiden Hutchinson, the hometown hero of sorts, and Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon. I mean, and you can't really argue with that. And Trey Flowers has had an injury-plagued three seasons here since signing that $90 million deal. He's a great all-around guy, but he's not a game-changer. And if they were looking to get a big contract off the books, his kind of seems at the top of the list. And then you plug in a Kayvon or a Hutchinson, and boom, there you go. And, I mean, the Rams pick, I think that's going to be 26, 27, 28. But this team needs a vertical threat at wide receiver, and this looks to be another class that's kind of loaded with those type of guys. Including him, Amon-Ra St. Brown's former teammate, Drake London. So, I mean, he's already expressed interest in that reunion. I mean, they need a receiver. They need an impact player on defense. They need a linebacker. They need game breakers on defense. There are nice pieces in place, like Tracy Walker's of the world. Not sure what Okuda's going to be. Amani Oluwariye was having a great season before his season-ending surgery there. But they just need some game breakers. I mean, one of those edge rushers at the top of the board. The offense desperately needs an infusion at wide receiver, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a very defensive heavy draft in Detroit.
And you mentioned Aiden Hutchinson. Obviously, he's obviously, like you mentioned, the hometown guy. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of fans pulling for that guy to get drafted by the Lions.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's already like a divide. It's 50-50 hardcore, and it's okay. Interesting mix of Michigan fans and people who actually want him because he's the best player and stuff like that. I mean, I think the SB Nation site, Pride of Detroit around here, had a poll, and it was literally like 54 Hutchinson, like 46 Thibodeau. And it's like, okay, wow, this is going to be an interesting draft night. Split down the middle.
Exactly, so, exactly. Going to make half the fan base happy. Ben Raven joining us for just a couple of more minutes here. Detroit Lions reporter for M Live. So let's talk about this game quickly on Sunday. What is the latest as far as I know? It was possible that Tim Boyle might get the start this weekend, depending upon Jared Goff's status for Sunday. What are we looking at quarterback for the Lions on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't have a great read on it. You know, Jared Goff isn't sure if he's going to get the go-ahead. He said he wants to play. He said he wants to start. But the way I'm looking at it, if you're worried about pain management, trying to avoid any setbacks going into week 18 at 2-13-1, and you got the option to start your backup quarterback who you remain pretty high on, and he's on a one-year deal, I think it's a pretty – I know from my chair, it's like, start Tim Boyle, see what you have there. See if there's another contract in the books for him to be Goff's backup or an option down the line. And it's just, but yeah, Goff wants to play, but I mean, he said it straight up today. It's just pain management, trying to avoid any setbacks. And they tweaked their practice a little bit to go to 7-on-7 style just so he could stay involved with the offense. And that's not a great sign for the knee. He described it as a bone bruise. He ended up finishing the game against the Cardinals and looked pretty good doing it, but then landed on the COVID list. And then he comes off the COVID list and he's still not practicing with the knee issue. So he's had a rough couple of weeks. So it feels 50-50 to me. I mean, when I'm thinking about it, it's like I see more value in starting Boyle, but I also see the value in sending Goff into the offseason feeling all right, too.
And Packers fans, you know, you might recognize the name Tim Boyle because obviously he was the backup here for a couple of years to Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers obviously has expressed his love for Boyle, and so that would be a lot of fun, honestly. I mean, it'd be Tim Boyle against Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, and that's something I wanted to ask you as well. Are the Lions preparing like they'll face the Packers starters, or are they just preparing and whoever they face, they'll face?
You know, they're saying that they're preparing for their starters, but I'm sure they're preparing for everything across the board because, I mean, everybody out of Green Bay seemed like they were saying, we're playing. So that's the way they're taking it, too. They're preparing for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, which will be, a tough test there, but also I'm guessing you'll at least see a half of Jordan Love as well. I'd be surprised if Rodgers plays more than a half there in Detroit. Well, Ben, I really appreciate the time tonight, appreciated the time back in September as well, and, well, we might have to do this next season and maybe a new-look Lions team that is, looking at a brighter future there.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to push aside the draft topics and actually talk about the game. You know, that's the goal around here, right? Relevant games in December and January.
Exactly. And we would love to be able to do that, no doubt about it. And Ben, really appreciate the time tonight. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Ben Raven joining us here on the WJJQ Hotline. Covers the Detroit Lions for M Live. Follow him on Twitter as we lead up to the game and the game on Sunday at Benjamin S. Raven. Pretty easy to find there as well. And as we mentioned, the Detroit Lions 2-13-1. So pretty much, as he mentioned, for the most part, locked into that number 2 overall draft pick. However, if the Jaguars were to win on Sunday and the Lions do lose, the Lions would get that number 1 overall pick. But again, if they're looking at those two edge rushers between Thibodeau and Hutchinson in the draft, then most likely they're going to get one of those two guys. All right, coming up next, just after the news, we will talk to Grant Bills, host of the Wisco Sports Show statewide here in Wisconsin. We'll talk Packers and Badgers basketball with him. 6:40, John Long of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball coach. He is going to join me then. We've got a full hour left of the sports queue, so do not go anywhere. We'll be right back after the news. It is the Sports Q, talking Wisconsin and local sports with me, Hunter Baumgart, right here on WJJQ Tomahawk. It's 6 o'clock and time for news.
CDC on a Pfizer booster for kids.
The committee voted 13-1 to recommend the booster.
Deadliest single fire in Philadelphia kills 13, mostly children.
It's just devastating.
On the eve of the U.S. Capitol attack anniversary,
those involved must be held accountable.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A CDC advisory panel recommends the Pfizer COVID booster shots for kids 12 to 17. WSB Sabrina Cupid.
Only one panel member voted against the booster shot, Dr. Helen Talbot, after the vote, saying she would rather focus efforts on the unvaccinated.
I don't think it's fair for the 12 to 17-year-olds who have been vaccinated to risk myocarditis again for an unknown benefit, because their colleagues won't get vaccinated.
Vaccination of 12 to 17-year-olds has slowed over the past 2 months. The main concern among parents is long-term side effects, the CDC saying the benefits of the booster far outweigh the risk. Sabrina Cupid for CBS News Atlanta.
Chicago public school students are waiting to find out whether they can go back to school tomorrow. The district and teachers union are talking after teachers voted to return to remote learning over COVID safety concerns. And instead, district officials canceled classes today. A tennis superstar travels to Australia to defend his title, but is turned away by the government.
Last year, he won the Australian Open.
Novak Djokovic still unconquered.
Now it's unclear whether Novak Djokovic will be allowed to defend his title. At the Melbourne airport, he was refused entry into the country. Djokovic was initially given a medical exemption that would allow him to enter Australia without proof of a COVID vaccination. But the visa was canceled. Officials say he applied for the wrong visa. Australia Prime Minister Scott Morrison says no one's above the law. Djokovic is challenging the move. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Jean-Baptiste, the leading nominee, and other artists will have to wait to find out whether they're Grammy winners. Due to the COVID surge, the Recording Academy and CBS have postponed this month's 64th annual Grammy Awards show in Los Angeles. No new date has been set. Two people remain missing after last week's destructive wildfire in suburban Denver, Colorado. Now, partial human remains have been found close to where the fire is believed to have started. Tragedy in Philadelphia after a fire sweeps through a duplex row house, killing 13 people, seven of them children, some were Isaiah Brown's cousins.
All the pain they must have been going through, you know, struggling to get out that house. I can only imagine what they was going through, you know. I just want to say I'm sorry to everyone who was connected to them.
Fire officials say the smoke detectors in the building were not working. On Wall Street, U.S. stocks slumped. The Dow closed down 393 points. NASDAQ fell 523. Now this.
Dell Technologies' New Year event can help you save up to 45% on Windows 11 Pro PCs with powerful hardware-based security. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With ACEyourRetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Woo-hoo.
Snarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Renewed commitment from Attorney General Merrick Garland ahead of events marking tomorrow's 1 year since the January 6th insurrection.
Attorney General Merrick Garland promises to continue the unprecedented scope of investigations into the attack.
The Justice Department remains committed to holding all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy.
More than 725 people have been arrested and charged. Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
Lawrence Brooks, the oldest World War II veteran in the U.S., has died. He was 112. During the war, he was assigned to the mostly black 91st Engineer General Service Regiment.
The old sergeant was telling us you got to get training so you can go kill people. Kill people. You mean, as much as I love people, you tell me I got to go kill them?
He chose to be a cook. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin tonight, breezy and chilly with periods of light snow or flurries. Maybe another dusting or half inch out there. Low temperature at 3 with north and northwest winds 10 to 17. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy and cold, high near 11. Some occasional light snow showers, northwest wind 10 to 15. Friday, low 10 below zero, high of 9, increasing clouds. Might be some patchy light snow or flurries in the evening. Saturday, mostly cloudy, breezy, and warmer, high 26, a chance of a little snow later in the day. Sunday, some sunshine returns, windy and cold, though, high near 7. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
It is 13 degrees in Tomahawk.
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Hunter Baumgart.
Welcome back to the program. I am your host, Hunter Baumgart. You can feel free to follow me on Twitter at HunterBOnAir or like the Facebook page, Hunter Baumgart Sports, where I keep you updated on the guests that are going to appear on the program and give you my sports thoughts throughout the week during Packers games and more at HunterBOnAir on Twitter. and on Instagram at Hunter B on Air, and also on Facebook as well, Hunter Baumgart Sports. Well, we talk Wisconsin and local sports each and every Wednesday evening from 5:30 until 7. Tonight, no different. Coming up in about 20 minutes, one of the voters for the NFL MVP award came out and said he's not voting for Aaron Rodgers because of his off-the-field actions and words. We'll get into that discussion here in about 20 minutes. Should off-the-field actions impact MVP voting? We'll discuss that coming up in about 20 minutes. Also at 6:40, John Long, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball team, will join me to discuss their season so far. We'll get into some local sports with John and also preview the rest of the week in Hatchet sports as well, coming up at 6:40. But first, let's go out to the WJJQ hotline and talk some Wisconsin sports with my buddy Grant Bills. Joining me here tonight on the Sports Q, happy to welcome back to the program Grant Bills, host of the Wisco Sports Show statewide in many spots around the state. And you've heard him here on the show before. Follow him on Twitter at Wisco Grant. Grant, how you doing tonight?
Hunter, I'm doing great. It's funny, I haven't talked to you since last year.
I know, it's been so long. Yeah.
I keep making that joke. I'm addicted to making that joke, and I need to stop. But you're like the last person that I haven't done it to, so I had to.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I should have played that joke on more people. I mean, I did say on my last show of the year, you know, talk to you next year, which, you know, felt just, you know, really, really fun to say. But yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's good to talk to you in this new year. Happy New Year to you. And I know the big topic in sports radio this week, radio in general, is what's your New Year's resolution? We'll leave that rest. We don't need to get too into personal items of each other's New Year's resolutions. But I do want to talk Packers and Johnny Davis with the Badgers, and we have so much we can talk about. So let's start with the Green Bay Packers, and considering how they played this season, 13-3, top seed in the NFC, have they overachieved in your eyes, or was this about how you thought this season would go for this team?
I don't know. It's funny when you think back to the offseason, how our opinion has changed of Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. of Joe Barry, of the wide receivers, of Devontae Adams, the defense, right? We've just been on such an up-and-down ride really ever since last April during the draft when the Rodgers drama first started. And it's pretty nuts now that the season has come to a complete conclusion. Well, we got one more game, but the seeding has been decided. The number one seed, they're probably going to rest at least for portions of the game, so we can look back kind of in retrospect on the regular season. It's bananas to me that they lost three games. One was in week one, and that feels like it was years ago. Mm-hmm. Another game was started by Jordan Love. And the other game they lost was to the Vikings in a really fluky game where, yes, the Vikings played really well, but if you play that game 10 times, the Packers probably win eight or nine times.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, Hunter. That's absolutely insane. That was their season. They had, like, one actual legit loss, and the other two were fluky. And that blows my mind considering where we were this offseason. I don't know if that means they overachieved. I think so, though. Yeah, considering all the injuries. And no team has ever won 13 games 3 years in a row. So I think when you consider those factors, yeah, you have to say they overachieved, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. When you think about the losses, obviously a bad loss in week one. But like you said, if Rodgers plays against the Chiefs, I got to think they win. And if Savage yeah. is able to catch that interception for the Packers, they go down and make the game-winning field goal. So it's just, you know, the little things, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at maybe a 15-1 team. I mean, I think I agree with you there. Overachieving. And well, to be honest, a lot. Along with all of those injuries, I think overachieving, you know, is the answer there. Now you look at Matt LaFleur, and obviously the question has become, you know, will he get Coach of the Year? I think, you know, a lot of people want him to get Coach of the Year, not just because what he's done this year, but also looking at his whole body of work in the last 3 years, setting the record for most wins in his first three seasons. You know, you look at all of the different distractions that this team has had, swirling around, you know, everything swirling around Rodgers, all the injuries, COVID causing star players to miss games. How good of a job has Matt LaFleur done, in your eyes, to keep these guys so focused and lead them to a 13-3 season?
Well, it's funny, on my Monday show, we talked mostly about Matt LaFleur and kind of looked towards the Detroit game and talked about whether to rest. We didn't really talk about the game because it wasn't a game.
Right.
It was basically a hammer pounding a nail into the wall. You can't really break that down. So we talked about Matt LaFleur because on Sunday, he became the first coach ever to win 13 games in three straight seasons. And I liked that record, and I liked that they did it in 16 games and not 17 because mm-hmm. they were still able to do it in the window that it's been done, you know, for years before they added that game. And he also surpassed George Seifert. I think, 39-9, and Seifert was 38-10 or something like mm-hmm. that. So a couple of benchmarks for LaFleur. One thing that I pointed out on my show, and maybe this is the most impressive part, is the challenge and the mission as the Packers head coach has been very different for the last 3 years, and he succeeded three times, right? He gets to town, he's got to befriend the quarterback, right? He's got to get his system in place, get Aaron Rodgers to buy in, and kind of get the ship back on track. And he did that, and they won 13 games. And then the next year, they draft Jordan Love. He's got to deal with that. And then Aaron Rodgers wins an MVP, and they still take it to the next level, and they probably should have made the Super Bowl. And then this season, it's the final dance. It's the last straw, and Rodgers is even unhappier in the offseason. He's got to deal with that. So that's I think, what blows me away about Matt LaFleur the most is all three seasons in Green Bay for him have been very different, and he's taken all of those different challenges and succeeded and done something that's never been done before. And that's pretty amazing. That shows that he's got skills and traits as a coach that you can really tackle anything with, and that's really impressive.
Yeah, when I was thinking about, you know, questions to ask you, that came to my mind was just kind of thinking, okay, I mean, LaFleur has really dealt with so much in his first 3 years, and yet he's still set the record for most wins in 3 years. So that's, you know, whoever you, no matter who you have at quarterback, it is, to win games is, like they always say, it's tough in the National Football League to win games. You hear that all the time. And it's true, and it's incredible what he has done, truly. Now, obviously, you know, you've mentioned it a couple times, and I do want to ask you about whether they should rest players, play players, what have you. They're 13-3, play Detroit to finish the regular season on Sunday, in a game that, you know, doesn't matter, because if they win or lose, it won't change their playoff position. They're locked into that one seed. Considering that, and this is the question being asked on every sports radio show, and we talked about it earlier, so I got to ask you, what would you like to see the Packers do on Sunday? Play the starters, not play the starters, somewhere in the middle? What do you want to see?
I have an opinion. I knew my opinion in the third quarter on Sunday, but before I give it to you, I think it's important to remember, I don't think there's a right answer.
Right?
They could rest everyone, and then they could come out and play great in the divisional round. And they could play everyone and suffer injuries or still come out flat in the divisional round. So just because they maybe lose in the playoffs doesn't mean it's a direct result of what they do in Detroit. They still got to take care of their business, stay healthy, stay ready, stay fresh. So I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but I think the correct answer is keep the guys in the routine, right? Have them play half or a quarter. It doesn't have to be pedal to the metal, win the game, but have them go through practice this week, have them go through their normal routine, like everything's business as usual, travel to Detroit, lace up the cleats, put the helmet on, go through all of the same routine, right? So you don't get sidetracked, so you don't start to get out of a loop and feeling like you're sitting around waiting for football to come back. That's how I feel. And I think the risk is very small, and the reward is you keep your same routine, you keep your players engaged, you keep everyone on the same page, and I think that's really important going into the bye and the wild card weekend.
I agree with you there, and I laid it out earlier in the show what my thoughts are, and they're very identical to yours. And, you know, originally I didn't want Rodgers to play in this game if it was meaningless, because I just don't want Rodgers to get hurt. I think the number one thing that this team needs in the postseason is Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, because he gives you a chance to win no matter what. But also, I also thought that he was going to have more of a toe issue. It sounds like his toe is really becoming more of a non-issue, and I thought, you know, the last few weeks it's all been like, you know, after the bye it felt so good, so I was like, wow, the more rest this guy can get for his toe, he'll be okay. But also, you look at the games this season, his two worst games, quarterback rating, are against the Saints after he didn't play in the preseason, and against the Seahawks after he was out with COVID. So you think about not just everybody else needing, you know, not wanting to get rusty, but Rodgers as well could show rust a little bit. So I do agree with you there. Play him a little bit. Don't leave them in there too long, but also have them still in that routine, because everybody can get rusty, even Aaron Rodgers.
Well, and Hunter, this offense, I think, especially this year, is uniquely dispositioned to be slow starting, right? They're not good in the first quarter. So if you compound that issue by taking 2 weeks off, and we saw how that impacted them coming into the season, or how that's impacted them in the bye weeks the last couple of 2 years, although I think those games are a little bit misleading, I don't know that I want to mess with that, because this offense already starts slow. I don't know if I want to compound that problem by sitting idle for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Grant Bills joining us here on the Sports Cue tonight, host of the Wisco Sports Show statewide. You can find him on Twitter at Wisco Grant. And, you know, is there, since the starters will be in, is there anything specific you'll be looking for them to, is there anything in your mind that you've seen, you know, over the last couple of weeks that maybe it is, you know, starting faster, something they could work on in the first couple series when they're in the game, the starters?
Well, it's easy to say start faster, right? There's a million factors that go into that, so that's a little broad. I'd like to see the offense at the end of game slam the door shut. And it's not about, like, taking your foot off the gas. It's not about being aggressive and taking shots down the field. It's just executing, right?
Yep.
It's not going three and out, right?
Yeah.
The bar is very low, Hunter. Just don't go three and out. And they did that a bunch against Cleveland. They did that once against Baltimore, and it could have killed them. And if you go back and you look at all these NFC Championship losses, Hunter, over the last 7 or 8 years, they have one of two things. They either started slow, as they did in 2016, 2019, 2020, or they started fast, and then the offense shut off. And that's what happened in 2014 against the Niners. Mm. Those are the two things they have to tweak. I think a detail that I'd like to see, and we saw this actually in the second half against Minnesota, get A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones on the field at the same time.
Yes.
I saw some film people on Twitter. It's called the pony package or whatever. Get Jones and Dillon on the field at the same time. After Devontae Adams, they're probably your two best weapons on offense. Mm-hmm. Maybe argue for Lazard or MVS, but you can't only have one of them on the field at a time, because then you're keeping one of your better playmakers on the sidelines. So to start games, get them both out there. At the end of the game, get them both out there. You're just increasing the chances that somebody's going to make a play, and that's what they need early and late. That's when the offense has struggled most.
Absolutely, and it's not, I like how you said that. It's just about executing. It's not like they have to, like you mentioned, just take more, you know, deep shots down the field or, you know, try to get more big plays. It's just about, you know, sustaining a drive, you know, late in the game when you need to and take the time off the clock. And they couldn't do that in the second half against the Browns, and that's what led the Browns almost to, you know, a chance at a game-winning field goal. So obviously that's something they'll want to do better in the postseason. Also, I want to ask you about something that has been bouncing around the Wisconsin sports media for sure today, and that is what longtime football writer Hub Arkish said yesterday in saying he won't vote for Rodgers because of what he did in the offseason, that he's a jerk and not a good guy, and therefore he doesn't deserve an MVP vote. And obviously Rodgers clapped back at that today, calling Hub Arkish a bum. So we've got one guy calling a guy a jerk and the other calling him a bum, and then Rodgers had much more to say on that, and we'll get into that here on this show in just a little while. But we could, you know, get into all that Rodgers has said and not said, but I think the question is simple here. To you, would you consider anything that a player has done off the field when deciding who to vote for an award like the MVP?
Yeah, if you kill someone, you know, really extreme. If you do something off the field that leads to a suspension or then leads you to not be able to play football anymore, sure. Hunter, this whole thing is dumb. And it's really entertaining. A lot of things that happen in sports are dumb. But this is so, listening to Hub Arkish's interview, and I thought Parkins and Spiegel did a really good job clarifying and following up on some things, which is why I would encourage people to go listen to the full thing. Mm-hmm. Don't just read the quotes, right? Go listen to their full interview. And I saw Parkins and Spiegel both on Twitter, listen to the whole thing, because we got into this. So Arkish talks about how he was a jerk and how he's a bad guy and how he threw a wrench into the offseason of the Packers. That's all true, right? I'm not disagreeing with any of that. And if you don't want to vote for someone for MVP because of those reasons, fine. But then don't make the leap and say he ruined the offseason. Well,
right.
The Packers had a good draft, and they found Devondre Campbell and added Corey Bohorquez. I don't think he prohibited the Packers from doing anything. He was a jerk, but he didn't make the roster worse. He didn't hurt them on the field. Well, if the season came down to the Chiefs game, yeah, but it didn't. And then I heard Hub Arkish say, well, Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor are just as bad. No, they're not, right? That's not how football works. Don't play dumb and tell me a wide receiver or running back is more valuable. So if you don't want to vote for Rodgers because he's a jerk, fine. But say that and leave it at that. Don't try to draw some grand conclusion about how he screwed up the offseason and this and that. Just say he's a jerk, and for that reason you don't want to vote for him. And then Rodgers today is he didn't want to vote for me because I'm not vaccinated. It's actually, that's not really what he said, but who cares? This whole thing is all so dumb. And it's entertaining, but
right.
I don't know. A lot of people are missing the mark on this. But again, it's for entertainment, and it's really entertaining, so I'm not going to complain.
Right. It is entertaining. It's something for us to talk about. And boy, I mean, Rodgers and the whole story and everything around Aaron Rodgers this year has not given us a lack of things to talk about. There's no doubt about this. And in this profession, it has not been slow this really since April.
Hunter, to start my show today, I said Monday, Tuesday of this week alone, we got topics that it's some months you wouldn't get, right? We got the debate of whether to play the guys this week or not play the guys. And then Wisconsin's own Johnny Davis goes for 37 and 14. He's from here in La Crosse where I live. Those are two amazing topics. And we were given them on a Monday and a Tuesday. And then today Rodgers clapped back, which is going to give us something else to talk about as we were just discussing. But, we've just been handed amazing topics this week. It's really, really entertaining.
It is entertaining, and there's no doubt about that. He is the host of the Wisco Sports Show. Grant Bills joining us for just a couple of more minutes here on the Sports Q. Follow him on Twitter at Wisco Grant. And you mentioned Johnny Davis there. I wanted to get into that a little bit because he has been obviously exceptional this year playing for the Badgers basketball team. And we both had a chance to cover him when he played for La Crosse Central there when we worked together in La Crosse. Yeah. And he's been sensational, you know, dropping 37 points on the third-ranked Purdue Boilermakers on Monday night. And I was listening to your show yesterday, and you said that in high school you thought this guy had a shot at the NBA. And to be honest with you, I thought he'd be good in college, not this good necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't have strong feelings. He could end up in the NBA. What in your mind did you see in high school that made you think this guy could be this good?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I expected him to be this good. It was right. Just bizarre because we saw him play against Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren at Mitchell Hall, right, mm-hmm. in that game against Minnehaha Academy. And Chet Holmgren's probably going to be a top three or four pick at worst. And Jalen Suggs was the fifth overall pick to Orlando. He's now with the Magic last year. And I remember at that game, talking to the Evan Floods of the world and people who follow the Wisconsin prep basketball team, people who are on this, you know, like white on rice. And remember after the game, a game in which Johnny Davis dropped 45 and looked far and away the best player on the floor. I remember, you know, going down and asking some of these scouts, like, well, what do you think? You know, what do you see? And they're like, yeah, well, Johnny's fine, but Jalen Suggs, that's a real prospect. And I'm like, well, I guess, but like, I never know. Like in a game like that, Johnny Davis didn't shrink in those moments. And Johnny Davis, and I talked about this on my show yesterday, right, they played games against teams from Miami and Long Island and Baton Rouge, and they did tournaments around the country, and obviously Minnehaha. Like, this is a guy that played in huge games, in huge settings. I tell my listeners all the time, if you love basketball, you got to go to an Onalaska Central game because it's the rowdiest basketball environment you'll ever be in, especially at the high school level, right? And he's used to that. Like, these are the moments that he's played in. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he can go into Mac Arena and score 37. I guess I was never banging the drum that Johnny Davis can be an NBA player. I guess I was just surprised why others were so hesitant to even consider that as a possibility. That's what always weirded me out.
Yeah, and it's just an interesting thought because, you know, watching him up close and personal, you know, I knew he was good, but I think, you know, some of the thoughts that you put out there, like the competition he was facing and how much he was dominating them, I wasn't necessarily maybe taking note as much of that. And yeah, those Central on Alaska games, especially when those two were top two in the state, you know, that game before, you know, I think we were both at that game, the game that was right before everything shut down and they had a chance to go, you know, on in the tournament. They won that game, but obviously the tournament was stopped. After that was in 2020. But what he's been able to do with the Badgers has been so entertaining, and just continue what he did in high school, really against the stiff competition of everybody in college basketball, now the Big Ten, which will just be so fun to watch this year because obviously as we have talked about, and we have a feeling this could be the only season we see him on the Wisconsin Badgers, as most likely he will be headed to the NFL or the NBA draft after this season. Grant, really appreciate the time. Always a really fun chance to talk to you and catch up with you. And we'll probably do it again as the Packers make their way here in the postseason.
Yeah, thanks, Hunter. And by the way, I heard you say NFL on accident. He played quarterback too, and was pretty darn good.
Maybe if
the basketball thing doesn't work out, maybe some eligibility, he can come back and play a little quarterback. Him and Brad Davison both, maybe. I'm sure Davison, he probably wants to come back to school anyway, so maybe they could both come back and play.
You know, Davison
probably not ready to.
Davison's going to be Davison's going to be like, you know, be married with kids, and then he's going to, you know, come back. Oh, I have this one year that they missed, you know, missed on my paperwork, and I can come back and play football for the team. And Paul Christ will welcome him with open arms. So
he's hoping for another pandemic, so he gets another free year of eligibility when he's done with basketball this year. I gotta let you go, Hunter. I know you're trying to go off. Hey, thanks for having me on, man, and it was nice to connect. And anytime we have a chance to chat about Johnny Davis and La Crosse Central basketball, I'm there anytime. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. That is Grant Bills joining us here on the Sports Q, host of the Wisco Sports Show across the state of Wisconsin. Again, see him on Twitter there, at Wisco Grant, and really appreciate his time tonight. And we worked together for 4 years in La Crosse, so you can tell it's just like talking to a friend. You know, obviously, I really love all the guests that I talk to, but when you have that rapport with somebody, then it can be more of a conversation, and that's what I love to build with guests, and that's why I try to have repeat guests on sometimes, too, just to build that rapport more and more, little inside sports radio nugget there for you. But anyway, Grant is fantastic. Really appreciate his time tonight. And when we return, so coming up here in about 15, 20 minutes, we'll talk to John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet's girls basketball coach. But when we return, we talked a little bit about it there with Grant and the MVP voter, Hub Arkish, who said he's not going to vote for Rodgers because of his off-the-field things. Now, we're not going to get into there's no need to get into the specifics of what Rodgers has done off the field. We all know that. The question is going to become, should off-the-field actions, influence a vote for the MVP? And that's the question. And if you have a thought on that, 715-453-4481. Phone lines will be open next. I'll play the clip for you of the MVP voter, Hub Arkish, saying this, and then I'll react to it and basically debunk his argument. So that's coming up next right here on the Sports Q.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Healthier living means more joy, more laughter, more treasured moments. At Aspirus Health, we work hard to help you be present for the little things that matter in life. And we're delighted to provide dedicated, personalized care in even more communities throughout northern Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. To schedule an appointment at an Aspirus clinic near you, please visit aspirus.org or call 800-847-4707 today.
This is Jeannie from the Northwoods Riders Snowmobile Club. The Northwoods Riders Snowmobile Club extends our sincere appreciation for the privilege to cross private land with our trail system. Thank you, landowners.
Don't be caught by old man winter with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner, and they offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today and enjoy the confidence in knowing your furnace is ready for our Northwoods winter today and for many years to come. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox's signature collection with a furnace just right for your heating needs. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 or go online premierheatingcooling.com. That's 453-4700. Happy New Year from OJ Services, where Ann and Jay service septic, mound, and holding tank systems for customers in all of North Central Wisconsin. This winter, if you need help, call OJ Services at 966-0181. Business or home septic, mound, and holding tank pumping now available. OJ Services, also a distributor for BioClean products. Ann and Jay are happy to provide you with great customer service. Check them out online, ojservices.com, or call 966-0181.
And great smells aren't the only reason people love working at Country Hearth. Job security at a third-generation family-owned company, great pay and benefits, and the opportunity to rise within the company are also in the mix. Besides production, there are a lot of other positions throughout the bakery. Maintenance fixes and maintains machines. Sanitation keeps the machinery and facility clean and safe. Shipping coordinates getting products from point A to point B, and there are delivery driver positions too. Are you ready to find the best fit for you? Find out more and apply today at countryhearthjobs.com.
Welcome back to the Sports Q, talking Wisconsin and local sports until 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Coach John Long, Tomahawk Hatchet's girls basketball coach, is going to join me at about 6:45, so stay tuned for that. We talked a little bit about it with Grant, but since this has been just swirling around the Packers and around the Wisconsin sports media, and Rodgers was asked about it today, I thought we'd bring it up on the program because I think it's an interesting discussion. And so basically, here's what happened yesterday on 670 The Score, a radio station in Chicago. Hub Arkish, who has covered the NFL for as long as I can remember, I've been listening to him. He's been on Pro Football Weekly for forever. He's also been on the Packers pregame show. He's been an NFL writer for forever. He was on 670 The Score, and he was being interviewed. He is one of the members of the panel that votes for the NFL MVP award at the end of the season. So there's 50 people who votes for the NFL MVP of the award that is given out by the Associated Press, and he's one of those people. He was asked that about his MVP vote. And what the panelists are supposed to do is never say who they're voting for. That is not to be discussed. However, there's no explicit rule that they should say who they're not voting, that they shouldn't say who they're not voting for. So Hub Arkish was asked, you know, you have an MVP vote. Yes. Okay. Then he had said something previously about not voting for Rodgers, so they wanted to press him on that. So here is the 2 minutes of Hub Arkish being interviewed by two hosts on The Score, who you'll hear, Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score. You'll hear what Hub Arkish says, and then I'll react to it. And we'll kind of go thing by thing of what he said here. But just listen, this is an MVP. This is a voter who is going to have a vote in the NFL MVP award at the end of the season. And this is what he said on Chicago radio yesterday.
You have an MVP vote this year, Hub?
I do. Yeah, I'm one of the AP. There's 50 of us who vote, and I am one of us.
And are you? Did you reveal that you're not voting for Aaron Rodgers? Is that correct?
I did. Yeah. I mean, I've been pretty consistent about that all year. I don't think you can be the biggest jerk in the league and punish your team and your organization and your fan base the way he did and be the most valuable player. Has he been the most valuable on the field? Yeah, you could make that argument, but I don't think he is clearly that much more valuable than Jonathan Taylor or Cooper Kupp or maybe even Tom Brady. And so from where I sit, the rest of it is why he's not going to be my choice. Do I think he's going to win it? Probably. You know, a lot of the voters don't approach it the same way that I do. Others do, who I've spoken to. But one of the ways we get to keep being voters is we're not allowed to say who we are voting for until after the award has been announced. I'm probably pushing the envelope by saying who I'm not voting for. But we're not really supposed to reveal our votes.
Are they supposed to... Are off-field things like vaccination status supposed to factor in, or are there no guidelines for that?
There's no guidelines. You know, we are told to pick the guy who we think is the most valuable to his team. And I don't think it says anywhere, you know, strictly on the field, although I do think he hurt his team on the field, by the way he acted off the field. They're going to get the number one seed anyway, but what if the difference had come down to the Chiefs game, you know, where he lied about being vaccinated and ended up not playing and they got beat. So I think all these things should be considerations. That's the way I look at it. He ruined the entire offseason for that football team. They were left in jeopardy. They had no idea what they were doing. A lot of the off-the-field stuff was wasted because he wasn't there. He tortured his fan base, and he's getting ready. He's already started doing it again.
He couldn't have won the MVP before the season for you?
For me? No. Yeah, no. I just think that the way he's carried himself is inappropriate. And the vaccine thing just was one more, you know, log on the fire, so to speak. I think he's a bad guy, you know, and I don't think a bad guy can be the most valuable guy at the same time.
I still can't get over that last sentence. He's a bad guy, and I don't think a bad guy can win the NFL MVP award. That's Hub Arkish on Chicago radio yesterday. Now, he does cover the Bears. Let's just put that out there for what it is. And he's a respected writer within the NFL. That's what's most mind-boggling about all of that he said there, was that he's so respected and he's been around for so long that some of the things he said there, I just could not believe. And he has such disdain for Aaron Rodgers. So let's go through some of the things he said there. And this is a player, or this is a writer that's going to vote for the MVP award this year. And if you have any thoughts on what he said, or if you think off the field actions, we're not, you know, we don't need to get into discussion about what Rodgers has said or, you know, things like that. But I think it's, if you have a thought on whether, you know, off the field actions should prohibit someone from winning the MVP or things like that, feel free to give me a call, 715-453-4481. Just some of the things he said there. He's the biggest jerk in the league. He punished the fan base. He's a jerk and a bad guy. I mean, he said he's a bad guy, and a bad guy can't win the MVP. So let's just go one by one here. So he said, quote, he hurt his team on the field by what he did off the field. Okay, so if that's the case, how good are the Packers this year? Number one in the NFL at 13-3. No other team has that record, and if they win against Detroit, they'll have the best record in the NFL, no doubt. The only thing they could have done better would be maybe an undefeated season, but that doesn't help anything in the playoffs. So the fact that he hurt his team on the field, but by what he did off the field, that's just not factual. And to be honest, you could make a better argument he helped the team more on the field because of what he did off the field. Because I think it really forced the hand of the Green Bay Packers to go out and get Randall Cobb for sure. Randall Cobb would not be in a Green Bay Packer uniform if Rodgers hadn't forced their hand. And Cobb played a huge role in their win over Arizona. Remember when they went to Arizona and Devontae Adams was out? They had a bunch of wide receivers out with COVID. And Randall Cobb stepped up in that game, had a couple of touchdowns, and was a big part of that win over Arizona on the way to the number one seed. Cobb would not be here if Rodgers hadn't forced the hand. You also had Rasul Douglas, Whitney Merciless, a couple veterans who were brought in. Rodgers wanted more veterans brought into this team. That's what happened. And, you know, guys they may not have tried to get otherwise if Rodgers hadn't spoken up. So that's an interesting part of it. We'll get to another part of what Hub said in just a moment. We do have a caller on the line. Hello, you're on the Sports Queue. Would you like to talk about this topic of Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your thoughts?
It's most valuable player for the game, not off the game. And the guy that said all that is a jerk, and he shouldn't be able to put his vote in because it went against the rules.
Right, yeah. I think the rule is that you can't talk about who you vote for, but I think they should also put in a rule where you can't talk who you're not voting for. I was just surprised at the level of disdain he had and, you know, the levels that he went to in that quote. I appreciate the phone call, though. Any other thoughts?
No, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go is right. Let's hope they win the Super Bowl, right?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I love your show.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the call and have a great night. And it's most valuable player. And that's the thing, too. I mean, one of the things that Hub Arkish said there, what if that Chiefs game cost them the number one seed, right? One of the arguments that Hub brought up was, what if the Chiefs game cost them the number one seed? Remember, Aaron Rodgers was out for that game against the Kansas City Chiefs with COVID-19. That's an awful argument. For one, it didn't cost them because they're the number one seed. For two, him lying about his vaccination status didn't cost them the game against Kansas City. Him getting COVID may have cost them the game because I think if Rodgers plays, they win that game. But also, Mason Crosby missed two field goals and they lost by six. So that makes up those 6 points. And plus, we've seen plenty of vaccinated players miss games this year because of getting COVID. Do I think getting vaccinated is smart? Yes. But did that decision cost the Packers this year? No. And before we get to, you know, what more of what he said, you may ask Hunter, you know, why do you care about this guy's opinion? You know, why would you take a random clip and respond to it? And because this guy's one of the 50 that is voting for the MVP award. And as our caller just said, it probably doesn't deserve it anymore. You know, he has it in his hands and he's laying a flawed argument out there for us all to see. And thus, I don't see why he deserves a vote. You know, you can factor in off the field if you want to, although I feel like it should be strictly on the field play. I think for the most part, it should be strictly on the field play, except for maybe extreme circumstances. I do get wanting a good character guy to win these awards and set examples for the young players and set examples for kids everywhere who look up to these guys. That I totally get, right? I'm all for big role models. So I could get where someone could come from there, but his argument is clearly flawed because of what I've just laid out. And the offenses, as Grant Bills said in the last segment, you know, Rodgers didn't get suspended or anything. His actions didn't from evidence we have, didn't hurt anyone. They already had COVID in the building with guys getting it before he tested positive. So his offenses weren't even punishable other than going to that Halloween party that he got fined for. And so if you're going to say he can't win the MVP because of going to a Halloween party, you know, that's another thing. So, you know, this is a peek behind the curtain of a guy who has a vote for the MVP award, but unfortunately isn't using it for good. And another argument that he made was he ruined the entire offseason for this team, right? That was one of the things that Hub Arkish just said. He ruined the entire offseason for this team. Yeah, the offseason that they drafted Eric Stokes in the first round, who's been a key part of filling in for Jair Alexander while he's been injured. Or how about Royce Newman, who was drafted and has been a huge part in filling in that offensive line? Or maybe Josh Myers, who was the starter at center week one that they drafted? Or how about signing Devondre Campbell, who's the team's leading tackler over the offseason? They did all those things, and all those guys have contributed to the team in big ways. Did Rodgers' silence over the offseason and disagreements, you know, make the offseason more difficult for the Packers? Sure. But did it ruin the entire offseason? No. So, I mean, this guy is an MVP vote. He's covered the NFL for a long time. I'm just mind-boggled that he said these types of things. And another, you know, the last thing I'll get to, and then we'll get to Coach John Long here in a moment. He said, Paul Barkish says that Rodgers is a bad guy. He said that twice. He said a bad guy. And a bad guy can't win the MVP award. Look, you may not agree with his decisions, but he's a bad guy? Come on. His teammates rave about him. Literally, they do. I mean, you ask him, they rave about him and his, you know, his care for them and helping them not only on the field but off the field. And Rodgers has done many things for charity, including sending $500,000 to small businesses affected by the coronavirus just last year. He's been involved with numerous charitable organizations, including the Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer, the MAC Fund, the Enough Project, the Starkey Hearing Foundation, Legal Action of Wisconsin, Make-A-Wish Foundation, among others. So I've listened to Hub Arkish, who we just, you know, heard from in the past, and I appreciate his opinion usually on different football things. But after this, he loses a lot of credibility for me. And it's really unfortunate that this is a guy that has an MVP vote this year. It's just really unfortunate. So it begs the question, how much should off-the-field antics or actions be included in consideration when deciding who to vote for awards like the MVP? And I think it only needs to be considered if they've done something blatantly wrong, you know, against the law, against NFL rules, vicious to the media, vicious to a teammate, things like that. Rodgers hasn't done that. And look, I am all for character being considered, right, in all walks of life. You know, like I said, you want good role models, etc. But Rodgers hasn't done violated any blatant character things either. I said, you know, back when we were talking about this whole, did he lie to the media and all that? I don't know if he necessarily lied to the media. The argument could be made, yes. But is lying once because he didn't want the pushback of, you know, talking about his vaccination status and even more attention around it, the worst? And again, that's not even Hub's argument. Hub's argument is, you know, all these different things. Like, basically, he said going into the season, he wasn't going to vote for Aaron Rodgers as the MVP. That's the wild thing, right? He had his mind made up before the season even started. So it wasn't even, the vaccination status wasn't even a thing. It was like he made his mind up going into the season, which is wild. All right, we have another caller in the line. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, my last comment is, yeah, and Brady should never get MVP after throwing his iPad.
After throwing his iPad. I appreciate that, Deb. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when the Buccaneers played the Saints a couple of weeks ago, so everybody has, I think they're Microsoft tablets. They look like iPads on the sideline. And Tom Brady threw his because he was mad at, you know, he watched something on tape and he threw his because he was mad that they were losing. And Deb says, no MVP for Tom Brady because he threw his tablet. Let's end on that note. I like that note. Can't get that angry on the sideline, says Deb. Love it. Absolutely love it. Want to also say that Hub Arkish, literally while he'd been talking about this 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, tweeted, quote, I made a terrible mistake Tuesday with my Aaron Rodgers comments. It was completely my fault. There's no one else to blame, and I'm here to try and apologize. He wrote a column about it. Look, you can apologize, but now we obviously know your real feelings about it. We obviously know what has went into your decision to vote for the MVP award. I don't understand necessarily what an apology is going to do at this point. So thanks so much for the discussion. Appreciate the calls as well tonight. Been a lot of fun to talk to you. Always love that. 15 minutes left of the program. Going to switch gears, talk local sports on the other side. Coach John Long, Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball coach, going to join us next right here on the Sports Cue.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to The Sports Cue with Hunter Baumgart on WJJQ.
If you didn't receive those Craftsman tools you were hoping for this Christmas, no worries. Tomahawk Ace is featuring a Red Hot Buy on the Craftsman V20 Lithium Ion Drill Driver and Impact Driver Combo Kit, now just $99.99. The Craftsman V20 Lithium Ion Battery Pack 2-Pack Drill Driver Impact Driver, only $59.99. That's at Tomahawk Ace Hardware, another Red Hot Buy.
Mary and Steve at Tomahawk Warehouse Liquor wish you a very happy new year. They'd like to thank all their customers and many friends for your continued support throughout the years. It is always a pleasure to visit and serve you. And with 2022 here, Steve, Mary, and Marley are looking forward to seeing you in the new year. They will still offer still pricing and a large selection at Tomahawk Warehouse Liquor on the north end of North 4th. Open every morning at 8 o'clock, and happy new year.
Here's a great idea for the whole family, a billiards table. While supplies last at the pool, people, if you purchase a billiards table over $5,000, you can take $1,000 off a sauna or 10% off up to $1,000 on that new hot tub you've been wishing for. Stay fit and save 20% off the base price on swimming spas. Plan now for the spring and save 15% off any in-stock pool, and all in-stock billiards tables are 20% off. Don't miss these January specials from the Pool People. Browse online at poolpeople.com or stop by the location near you in Rhinelander, Schofield, and Stevens Point, Wisconsin's largest distributor and dealer of swimming pools, pool tables, and spas.
Is it time to streamline your financial future? Do you have enough money set aside to last you for possibly the next 20 to 30 years? Have you prepared for unexpected expenses that may arise after you leave your job? Maybe you haven't asked yourself these specific questions, but I'm sure you have questions and concerns about your financial future. I can help you with these questions and others you may have. Together, we can assess your current financial picture and adjust as necessary to confirm you have a solid plan that gives you confidence to face and enjoy your retirement. This is Randy Plantenberg, an independent wealth advisor and your voice of reason for all matters financial. Call Main Street Investment Group at 453-0722 and please visit our website at mainadvisor.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to the program, Sports Q. Got about 12 minutes left of the program. Let's talk some local sports, shall we? Let's go out to the WJJQ hotline. Joining me now here on the Sports Q tonight, happy to welcome back to the program the head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball team. That is John Long. And John, really appreciate the time tonight. Happy New Year, and excited for this kind of the stretch of the season starting now as we go through January.
Yeah, happy New Year to you, Hunter, and thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. And so let's go back and talk a little bit about last week when you guys played in the Allman Bancroft Holiday Tournament. How did that tournament go for you guys?
You know, it was a good learning experience for us. Our first game, we had a tough Ottoma team, and we played in the first half. We played one of the best halves we played all season. I thought our defense was pretty good. And probably one of our better outings. And offensively, I thought we moved the ball really well. We knocked down a few shots. I think we were down by 10 at halftime. We played right with them. And in the second half, I think we just got kind of physically and mentally wore down, and we just couldn't keep up with them. They were a strong team. But I thought that first half really showed a ton of improvement and resolve in the kids. And then the next day, unfortunately, we had one of those letdown games where it was a team that you know, we probably – should have competed with, and it was probably went from our best half to probably our worst game of the season. And we're going to have that, you know, back to back games for the first time this season and missing a couple kids with the holidays. And so that was a little tough.
Yeah. Despite the results and like you said, the first time you've had back to back games this season, are those types of tournaments nice though? So you can have some game action, you know, during the holiday break.
Yeah, you know, I know that not everybody likes them, you know, all the holidays and stuff, but I think it's a great way for the girls to kind of stay with, you know, instead of having a huge break and coming back and kind of having to get back into the swing of things, it allows you to kind of keep working on your skill set and stay sharp and continue to improve on stuff. And it's a different atmosphere having a tournament, you know, where you've got multiple games going on and your back-to-back games. I think it's a good experience for the kids.
For sure. John Long joining us here on the Sports Q tonight, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball team. And now that we're, you know, 10 games or so into this season, how is the team overall gelling as everybody kind of gets to know each other better and better as the season goes on?
You know, I think we're in a little bit of a unique situation because we don't have a lot of numbers. You know, we've got four seniors, and we have a couple of juniors that haven't played, and then a couple of sophomores, and then all freshmen. So it's a big mix, you know, and you've got difference in ages there. And so it's taken us a little bit to gel. I do think that it's a really good group of girls in terms of they come to practice and they come to work every day. They do what we ask, and they're showing a lot of improvement. We have a long way to go. Yeah, we have a long way to go, but I think that I'm very encouraged by the attitude and the effort that the kids are putting in, and we're starting to see some results.
And you mentioned a couple, you know, some things that you've improved on so far. What are those, you know, specific things that you've felt that the team has improved on so far this season?
Well, I mean, outside of the, you know, it's kind of tough to work on individual skill sets during the course of the season because you're teaching an offense and you're teaching a defense and you're teaching out of bounds plays and that kind of stuff. But we are getting better as shooters, as passers, those skills. But I've really been impressed with how the girls are learning the defense and, you know, the type of style that we want to play, kind of just a tough lockdown half-court type defense. We're very team-oriented defense. You know, we do predominantly play man, but we play really good help defense. And, you know, when we can get teams into that half-court set, we can cause some problems. And the girls are starting to see that. They're starting to really buy into that. And I think that is going to be part of, you know, who we are as a team. Offensively, you know, we're still working, you know, we're kind of having to change our offense on a weekly basis based on the type of defense we see. Mm. But now we're coming onto that stretch where we're playing conference teams for the second time. And I think that is where you're going to start to see some major improvement.
Yeah, exactly. You know what to expect in each of the teams then and start to, you know, be able to face each and every team a couple of times, which is obviously going to help with familiarity there. John Long joining us here on the Sports Queue tonight. And, you know, we'll get to your game specifically against Antigo coming up on Friday. But what are a couple of things, you know, you want to see your team improve on over the next, you know, say, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to build on that defensive identity. I would like to see us improve on our transition defense. You know, in teams that do kind of get up and run, I'm really liking where we're headed with our half-court defense. So now to improve on that transition defense and start taking away some of those easy buckets in transition that we're not recognizing when a team's getting back quickly and you know, rotating to get that, you know, that shooter and maybe that top person back, you know, as we continue to get more comfortable with that. And then, you know, we're going to throw in a zone defense too. To be able to combat certain situations. And I think it's good to expose the girls to different defenses. Offensively, you can change an offense and call different offenses different things, but, you know, your theme really stays true. And I think the more we move the ball, the better offensive team we are. And the girls are starting to really, I think, believe that, making that extra pass, how that can open up an easy bucket. And so I want us to continue to, you know, work on getting great looks, and then, you know, of course, our shooting percentage will increase.
Absolutely. And the final thing for you here, John, is this game coming up on Friday night, Antigo. You mentioned, you know, you're starting to come into the stretch where you're playing a team twice. Antigo, this is the first time you'll face them this season, but it will be at home. What do you know about the Antigo Red Robins as we look towards Friday?
Well, we're excited to get back home. We feel like we've been on the road a lot lately with that Christmas tournament and playing up at Lakeland, and we were in Butternut before that.
Yeah, December 17th. Yeah, December 17th. Yeah.
It's been a bit.
Yeah.
So we're excited to play in front of the Hatchet crowd. And the Antigo, you know, they've gotten better, you know, from the first time we watched film early in the season, you know, when we're watching them play some of the opponents we had earlier, we've got some film on them. And you know, the most recent film we've got, they've really improved as a team. They're going to be a challenge for us. It's a different type of team. They like to attack in the half-court set as opposed to some of these teams that we've got out and wanted to run against us. So, you know, I think part of that favors us. They've got some girls in the post that can really do some damage. That, I think, is going to be a bit of a challenge for us. You know, we play teams that are really good in the guard position, and now this will be the first team that, as a team, their identity is kind of in the post. So that'll be a new challenge for us, but I'm excited for it.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And you can hear the game here on WJJQ on Friday night, 6:10, Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show, and 6:30 for the tip-off. Well, John, really appreciate the time tonight and looking forward to calling the game on Friday. Good luck to your team.
All right. Thanks, Hunter.
That is John Long, head coach of the Tomahawk Hatchets girls basketball team. They're hosting Antigo Friday night. We'll have the Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show beginning at 6:10, tip off at 6:30. Coming up tomorrow night, Hatchet Wrestling here on your radio. Hatchet Wrestling team hosting the Lakeland T-Birds for a GNC duel at the Fieldhouse. Opening match is at 7. Fairmont Orthodontics pre-meet show starts at about 6:40. That is tomorrow night. Also wanted to mention this, Tomahawk Community Spirit shirts are on sale until 1 o'clock on Friday. The two leading shirts designed by Tomahawk students were tied at 50 votes each, so without publicized tie-breaking procedure, they're selling both shirts this year. Shirts are encouraged to be worn the week of January 17th and to any Hatchet events and in the community. And pickup is available on January 16th, 6 to 8 in door 4 or at door 4 or school distribution on January 17th. Tomahawk Middle School and High School Cheer receives a donation from each sale. Links are on the Tomahawk Cheer Facebook page, the Tomahawk Youth Football Facebook page, and the Tomahawk Football Facebook page as well. So feel free to go and get a spirit shirt. When we return, we'll wrap up the sports queue and talk a little bit about Antonio Brown. Details on the way.
What does Hunter have queued up next in the sports queue? Find out in moments on WJJQ.
Bremen Merrill Ford will make your next vehicle buying experience easier than you think. How? Let's start with the obvious. Bremen Merrill Ford will give you the absolute best price on all pre-owned trucks and SUVs. In addition to the best price, Bremen Merrill Ford has the best selection of vehicles. Plenty of late model trucks and SUVs to choose from. Also, in their region, Bremen Merrill Ford has been consistently ranked first in overall Ford sales experience and sales satisfaction. Ranking first because of their commitment to make everyone's vehicle buying experience easy and enjoyable. Come see why everyone is saying it's so easy to find their next vehicle at Bremen Merrill Ford. Exit 211 South, Merrill. Online at BremenMerrillFord.com.
It's easier than you think at Bremen Merrill Ford.
Welcome back to the program. Sports Q wrapping up here on this Wednesday evening, 5:30 until 7 each Wednesday. And a little really fun show. Thanks to those who called. Always love interacting. I got a call earlier today, a voicemail saying, what happened with Antonio Brown? He decided to ditch his team during the third quarter of the Buccaneers' 28-24 win and basically took off his pads, took off his jersey, and ran shirtless off the field. And basically, it was after a spat with Coach Bruce Arians. He took off his helmet, his shoulder pads, and his undershirt, stormed off the field. And it's basically, you know, according to the league's official website, Brown felt he was too injured to play, so he refused to go in the game when Bruce Arians asked him to. And going into week 17, Brown had been dealing with an ankle injury that kept him out of practice Thursday and Friday, and that same ankle injury caused him to miss games earlier this year. So by the time the third quarter rolled around, Brown apparently felt that he couldn't help the team, and that wouldn't do any good to put him in the game. So Brown's decision clearly didn't sit well with Bruce Arians, the coach who told him to get out after the receiver twice refused to go into the game. So it sounds like the coach wanted him to play. Brown said he couldn't. So we'll see. This is still going back and forth between Brown's camp and the Buccaneers camp. Basically, it sounds like Brown was hurt, tried to take himself out. The coach said, get into the game. Brown said, I'm done. And he basically, you know, took off his pads, jersey, and everything and ran off the field shirtless, which we've never really seen in an NFL game before. So that was the story. Tom and Rhinelander, thanks so much for the call and the question earlier today. That wraps up the sports queue. Thanks to Ben Raven, Grant Bills, and John Long for joining me tonight. If you missed any part of the program, you can feel free to listen to it at the Audio Center tomorrow morning at WJJQ.com. We'll post it up there. Sports Q again next Wednesday, 5:30 until 7. Bucks play tonight in just a few minutes, and also Packers Lions noon on Sunday. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay positive.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join Hunter again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.